Open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians this morning. The book of Ephesians. I was telling the folks on Sunday that one of the things that I'm very conscious of when I go somewhere to preach is the size of the pulpit. I was preaching in Atlanta, and I was telling the folks that I got behind the pulpit, and the pulpit was about that high. And it was in the form of a cross. And I said, "Lord, I know I've always asked you to hide me behind the cross, but this is ridiculous, you know." Please stand for the reading of the scripture. Verse 21 and following of the fifth chapter. The whole theme of the book of Ephesians is the church. But within that context, what Paul does is he takes the thoughts and the truths about the relationship between Jesus and the church to teach us about the relationships between husbands and wives. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as. And I want you to notice the several times in this passage that we see that phrase, even as, or like Christ, associating that relationship between Jesus and the church. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men, or in the same way, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Father, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to experiment with our lives. Thank you that we have the truth of the Word of God. Help me, dear God, now to be a help and a blessing. That's all I desire. That in all you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I thank God for my wife, and I was kind of struggling about this first session in the preaching for this morning because it's a sort of a different kind of a venue, you know, some would think. I travel all throughout Latin America. We hold meetings like this everywhere. And more, I am very convinced that we need to touch on the subject of which we're going to be speaking about this morning. We're in dire need of leadership. We need leaders. And we need spiritual leaders. There is a difference between you having a title that says that you're a leader or a position that says that you're a leader. And you can have a title, you can have a position and not be a leader. I was in Pasco preaching at a breakfast at the church there in Dallas Dobson years back ago. And I got a call from a dear friend of mine who was speaking at a missions conference. He was invited by the mission board to address the missionaries. And he heard that I was there at Riverview Baptist. And he asked me what I had spoken about. And I told him that I had addressed the men about the things that I was going to be speaking, that I'm going to be speaking to you about today. And he said, "Preacher, you know, I came to the mission conference and the Lord impressed on my heart about preaching on marriage." And I said, "Lord, this is a missions conference. And the Lord would not give me peace. I kept telling him, but Lord, you know, these are missionaries and this is a mission conference." And he said, "I finally surrendered to what I felt God wanted me to do." He said, "Brother Salazar, you would have been amazed. The lines of servants of God that came to speak to me afterwards with serious, serious problems in their marriages and in their homes. Now this morning, I don't know. A good friend of mine would say it's kind of hard to teach new tricks to old dogs. And I'm more in focus and concentrated on the next generation. And some things that need to get right about spiritual leadership. I thank God for my sweetheart. I have traveled more than 4 million miles on American Airlines. I could not do that without her. Completely behind me. And I thank God for my pastor. My pastor was a very wise man who said to me, Ezekiel, don't forget that your first disciple is your wife. And he said to me, Ezekiel, you love your wife like Jesus loved the church. And there's nothing in the world she won't ever do for you. And there's nowhere in the world where she will not follow you. He said to me, remember that God called you to preach. He didn't call her to preach. Although some of them preach better than we do. I tell my wife, Mama, you're my favorite preacher. And I thank God for a wise pastor that taught me these things. I see too many of our young people going out into the pastorate, going out into the mission field, only to return after 2, 3, 4 years. And a lot of the times, a great percentage of the times, is because they're having problems in their marriage. My pastor said to me, as you draw her heart to yours, then what is dear to your heart will become dear to hers. She will not have the vision, the commitment, and the zeal for the call that God gave you. But that is where your leadership comes in. And this is completely connected to leadership within the church. And I'll help us to see that in just a second. Let me just begin by asking a question. And I don't say amen, don't make a gesture. For sure, please don't use your elbow, don't, you know. The question I'm about to ask is going to make some people nervous. Now, again, the things I'm going to say, there's some people, I was teaching this to some men, and a guy came up to me afterwards, and he says, Preacher, that was rough. Oh, that was rough. And Preacher, man, you're the things you're saying, and my wife was right there, right next to me. And I said, well, how do you think I feel? I mean, I'm the one teaching. My wife was on the front row. And some would say, you know, yeah, I think those things should be reserved for only... You know, I differ from that. I think it's time we take responsibility. And if your wife is here today and you're going to feel uncomfortable about some of the things that are going to be said, well, good. I hope you change. I hope there's some accountability. So the question is this. How many of us husbands here, how many men here, you have a wife? Now again, don't say amen or gesture or anything, but you have a wife that submits to you. Now, there's some of us, there's some like this, Preacher. I mean, they don't even want to look this way. And some of you are thinking, praise God I didn't bring my wife. Now, I didn't ask whether you have a submissive wife. I asked whether your wife submits to you. And I asked that question, and some people give this look like, you know, Preacher, what world do you live in? What planet are you from? Well, the Bible tells us that the wife is to submit to her husband. Now, the reason why that is so important is because God wanted us as husbands to be for our wives what Jesus is to the church. And it's very clear in Scripture. Setting aside culture and different traditions and customs, we have to go by what Scripture teaches us. And so I ask, does your wife submit to you? not do you have a submissive wife. Submissive wives don't exist. Those of you, those young men that you're looking for a submissive woman, you're going to end up a eunuch for the glory of God. All of us, every one of us since Genesis 3, we have a problem with submission. All of us, not just the ladies. But the Bible says that the Lord wanted wives to submit to their husbands. And Scripture gives us the reason why. Why did God want the ladies to submit to the husband? And ladies, please be patient with me. I know some of you are looking at me. Some of you can't. I think I heard a few growls, you know, like. Please have patience with me. Why did God want our wives to submit to us? Well, the Bible answers. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So, the reason why God wanted our wives to submit to us is so, just as Jesus is the head of the church, we can be the head of our wives. Jesus is the head of the church. And I'm going to simplify this by just simply saying that Jesus is the spiritual leader of the church. I'll repeat that. Jesus is the spiritual leader of the church. And what Jesus is to the church is what God wanted me to be, and every man in this room to be, to his wife. Her spiritual leader. Preacher, I go to churches and I find pastors' wives, missionaries' wives, very discouraged. Sometimes they're hiding somewhere in the nursery. And by the way, you young preachers, don't make the mistake of throwing your wife for the first 2 years of your ministry in the nursery. I mean, deal with whatever you have to deal with to control the service, but you're doing an injustice and you're hurting her spiritually when she's absent for 2 years from the preaching of the Word of God. And sometimes, the wife will be present, but she's somewhere in the back and you can see in her countenance that something is not right. We're lacking for spiritual leadership. But God intended for that to be proven, and God intended for that to be shown here first before it was exercised in the church. But in order for us to be spiritual leaders, our wives need to submit. So in answering that question, am I the head of my wife? And by the way, you're not the head of your wife because Scripture says so. Amen. I mean, you've tried that, haven't you? I mean, woman, look at Ephesians chapter 5. That's not enough for you. 1 Peter chapter 3. How's that working? The answer to the question is very simple. I cannot be her spiritual leader. I cannot lead her spiritually if she does not submit to me. So we have our churches full of men, and many times in the pastorate and in leadership, who are not the spiritual leaders of their wives. And the reflection of that is seen in so many different ways in churches and in ministry. God wanted me to be for my wife what Jesus is to the church. Jesus is a spiritual leader of the church. And if I am not my wife's spiritual leader, then I am being disobedient to what God called me to be as a husband. That's Scripture. Now, how important is that? I don't know. My Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 3 that if all this is not in the order that God put it, God's not answering my prayers. I would say that's pretty important. Now, for people who don't pray, well, it's not, neither here nor there. I need the Lord to hear me. I need Him. What is it that I would not have my prayers answered? I'm left to my own wisdom and my own power and my own knowledge and my own resources. And my goodness, how in the world can I be a minister and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be someone whose prayers are not answered? And that is directly connected to what's going on between me and my wife. That's in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, if I answer that question and say, well, preacher, you know, I struggle with that. You know, I just kind of can't get her to understand what... You know, I'm glad you're talking about this, Pastor, because, and I'm glad she's here. She needs to understand a few things. Well, you might not like what's following. You see, but the truth is this, is that if I am not my wife's spiritual leader, I am not any kind of a leader. Because God didn't mean it any other way. And the idea of whatever culture we may be, that being the head of our wives is coming home and, you know, we snap our fingers, everybody moves, everybody serves us. Everybody obeys. I'm sorry. The Bible says that the reason why God wanted the ladies to submit to the husband is so that we can be for them what Jesus is to the church. And Jesus is the spiritual leader of the church. Which we can never be if she does not submit. And now, the question is this. Well, preacher, that's just the problem. I mean, you hit the problem. I mean, I'd be an awesome spiritual leader if she would just submit. I mean, you're absolutely right. I cannot lead her, and I cannot be her spiritual leader if she's not willing to submit. And therein lies the whole problem, Pastor. This woman, mine, she doesn't submit. I mean, she's insubordinate, and she's a rebel, and I think she's descendant of Jezebel, and if you really want to sleep in the dog parks, I mean, she's like her mama. And you know, you're in trouble. And it's so easy for us to just, and yes, it is true, but we've already established that the problem of being rebels and not being submissive is not unique to ladies. We all have this problem since Genesis chapter 3. And that is true. But now, has there really been women in the history of mankind that have really submitted to their husbands? The Bible says yes. Now, let me real quickly just take us back a little bit to Genesis chapter 3. You know, I think, you know, the devil, man, he's throwing out some 21st century stuff. I mean, just, man, he's come out with some really unbelievable new stuff. Never anything new. Maybe presented in a different fashion, but same old thing. And we keep swallowing it. And so the whole thing about submission, you know, I'll have a group of ladies and I'll say to them, ladies, this morning I'd like to speak to you on submission. And boy, I mean, the room just feels tense. And it's like I'm looking for the escape doors, you know, and just, because I know, you know. And I say to them, look, do not believe the devil's lie about submission. First thing devil did is that he separated and he put doubt in the mind of Eve about the truth of the word of God. And that's what he always does. He puts in doubt the word of God so then he could throw his lies at us and we don't even recognize them. And that's the first thing that he did. And then he threw the lie. And this was the lie. He said, you know, you're not going to die. I mean, just, look, let me tell you what's going on here. God has knowledge that he doesn't want you to have. He doesn't want you to be like him. I mean, really, in simple words, what he was saying is God is holding out on you. He He has knowledge he doesn't want you to have. He wants to restrict you. He wants to control you. He wants to limit you. He doesn't want you to think for yourself. Very popular in our day. Yeah, I think for myself, and you think that's novel. That's as old as Genesis chapter 3. I mean, he knew what he was doing. Boy, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he says to the woman, God knows something he doesn't want you to know. I mean, he knew what he was doing. Because if there's one thing about ladies, they want to know everything. And they want to be the first to know it. Amen. I mean, he's no dummy. He knew what he was doing. And he throws this lie about submission, and so it is that that lie continues. It continues with children who are always complaining about their parents, and they're saying, you don't give me freedom, and you want to control me, and you want to know everything, and you don't give me, and you want to think for me, and it's the same with church members. Amen. Because we believe the lie about submission. Now we look at scripture and what it says about submission. And for example, the Bible says in the book of James, resist the devil. But it says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's kind of ridiculous to try to resist the devil when I don't submit to God. And so while the devil says, God, he wants to control you, he wants to restrict you, he wants to live, he doesn't want you to think for yourself. God says, no, I want to protect you. Amen. Bible says to church members, obey your pastors. And boy, that's troublesome. For some people, that's a problem. But you keep reading and it says, because they watch over your souls. There's a reason. And here's the devil's lie. God wants to restrict you. He wants to control you. He doesn't want you. And God says, no, I want to lead you and I want to protect you. And then we see the relationship between Jesus and the church. Jesus loves his church. He nourishes his church. He cares for his church. Amen. And here are all these ladies, and after the growling and the dirty looks and those expressions that say, yeah, you Baptist preachers, you're always putting the woman down. I said, hold on, please, please. Look, God wanted you to submit to your husband because through your husband, God means to protect you, love you, cherish you, guide you. And you know the look they give me? The one I'm seeing in a lot of ladies right now. This look of unbelief. Who cares for me? Protect who? Who cherishes me? It wasn't just submission and obedience that suffered. Authority suffered. The abuse of authority encourages the devil's lie. I'll repeat that. The abuse of authority encourages the devil's lie. Well, preacher, I'd be the spiritual leader that I should be, but I can't get her to submit. Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter and gives us an example of women that did submit. The scripture tells us, and by the way, that he puts Jesus as the example to start with, and that's why the chapter in the first verse starts likewise. Likewise, like who? Like Jesus. And he says what he says in the first six verses or so, and us men, we think that that's just for the ladies. Look at verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands. Everything that is said to the ladies from verses 1 through 6 applies to men as well. It says, likewise, you husbands. And I know, man, I've never seen that before. Of course not. We don't see what's not convenient to us. But look at what it says. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Bible says that the women of old and Sarah, they obeyed their husband, and they obeyed their husbands for two reasons. The Bible says that the first reason why they obeyed their husbands is because they trusted in God. When a wife does not submit, there's spiritual problems. It's because of a spiritual problem. And by the way, you should never for that reason belittle your wife, embarrass your wife, or badmouth your wife's spirituality, because that's your department, gentlemen. And if you belittle the spirituality of your wife, you're just giving testimony, reflection of the lack of your leadership. Second reason, it says that they were not afraid. The word amazement means to feel threatened. It's really easy, isn't it? She's a rebel. She's insubordinate. Definitely descendant of Jezebel. Never occurs to us that the problem is that they're afraid. They were not afraid. And I know he's, afraid. Preacher, afraid of what? You know, I've already told her not to be watching those monster movies, man. She can't even sleep at night. You know, the monster she's afraid of is the one she lives with. At home. I'm talking to some preachers here today. And missionaries. It never occurs to us that she's afraid. I mean, gentlemen, I don't know if you understand this. What God has asked our wives to do, it's beyond thought. Brother Kim, what is your wife's name?
Grace.
So look at what God has told Grace about Brother Tim. Grace, I want you to take your life and the life of your children and your future and everything, and I want you to put it in Brother Kim's hands. That's like, in whose hands? Like, how many here are honest enough to say that we have done enough to discourage our wives having confidence in us and have been a cause of them fearing in many, many things? Now, I know some of you don't have your hand raised because you're the fourth part of the Trinity. And No, we need to get real. You know, part of the problem of why the devil takes the advantage of you and me is because we believe ourselves above things, and we're not. We are not above things. But the Bible says that the reason why these women obeyed is because they were not afraid. They didn't fear. Look at this. Look at 1 John. Please follow me. 1 John chapter 4. I love this. Look at verse 16 of the fourth chapter of the book of John. And we have known and believed the love that God hath for us. Knowledge of the love of God is not enough. Knowledge of the love of God is not enough. We need to believe it. We need to believe it. John says, we have known, but we have believed the love that God has for us. God's love is the victory of the Christian. According to Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. God's love is our victory. And we know it in knowledge, but a lot of Christians live defeated because they don't believe it. They have the head knowledge of the love of God, but they don't believe the love of God. John says, we have known and we have believed the love of God. Look at what it says as we keep reading. We have known and believed the love of God that God hath for us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or mature. That we may have, talk to me, that we may have boldness. The word means confidence. That we may have boldness, the Bible says, in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So one day, praise the Lord, you and I will stand before God in judgment with absolute confidence because of the love of our Savior. Amen. Because you see, what inspires confidence is love. Now, preacher, what does this have to do with church leadership and spiritual leadership? Nobody will ever follow you that doesn't trust you. I'll repeat that. Nobody will ever follow you that doesn't trust you. And preacher and I, we've talked about this so many times. We find our Baptist church is plagued with this leadership that seeks the following of people in so many different ways. But not scripturally. The Bible says that what inspired this boldness is love, is not just knowing the love of God, but believing the love of God. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So why do ladies sometimes not submit? They're afraid. What casts out all fear? Talk to me. What cast out all fear?
Love.
Love. Love. Please understand this. It has everything to do with the reason why God wanted this spiritual leadership to be in place here before we dare get a deacon or an assistant or God forbid, worse, a preacher and put him here. When he hasn't proven his spiritual leadership with the person that knows him more than anybody else, his wife here. Now the man that is not a spiritual leader at home, he uses the tactics of the world. Because he is not a spiritual leader, he seeks to assume his position through intimidation. And threats. And you know what's unbelievable and sad? You get a guy like that, and you put him as a leader in the church, and he's going to do the same thing with the flock of God. Well, bless God, I'm the preacher around here. You're probably not. Nobody will ever trust you or follow you that isn't convinced that you love them. Love casts out all fear. And in order for our wives to follow us, that is necessary if we are to lead them spiritually, that fear that is there needs to be dealt with and will cast out fear is love. And it's not enough for her to know that you love her. She needs to believe it. She needs to believe it. By the way, the same thing applies to our kids. Amen. I've asked that young man right there so many times, son, I love you. Do you know that I love you? Do you know that? Because love inspires trust. Give me a generation of leaders that understand and that are spiritual leaders to their wives first, and you put those people in leadership. And they will lead by servanthood, they will lead by love, and they will lead by inspiration. No threats, no intimidation, no imposition. I desire to be that kind of a leader. So much. And as I share these things with you, I don't pretend that I have already arrived. Every man here knows that every single day we need to die to self. And by the way, you young people that are so full of selfishness, and you know, God needs to deal with you before you think of getting married. We live in the I generation. But one thing is for sure, that we are in lack of spiritual leadership. God intended for that leadership to be exercised here before we considered anybody for leadership over here. A couple of years ago, they diagnosed my wife with pancreatic cancer. And I thought at the time, I said, she's going to be fine. I said, sweetheart, you're going to be fine. 5% survival rate for pancreatic cancer. But you know, ladies, I mean, she was in the tomb already. And she was, you know, she was telling the ladies in the church, he brings another woman into this church, you make her life impossible. I mean, she thought she was gone. I knew she was going to be well, and she's okay. Last month, she fell down a flight of stairs, broke her scapula bone in her shoulder, broke two ribs, broke her wrist, her hand, two vertebrae in her neck. I turned on the light and she was at the bottom of the stairs, twisted, and I thought I had lost her. I thought I had lost her. Guys, thank God for our wives. Thank you for those 3 weak amens. I want to challenge you in closing. And the whole thing about loving our wives in a practical way, that's a totally different lesson. Let me just real briefly say that Jesus gave his life for the church as husbands should give their lives for their wives. Now the average man would say, oh, preacher, in a flat second, man, bullet comes my way, man, I'll stand right in front of it. You're no good dead. Well, you're no good alive either, but life is time. And time is life. Life is time. And time is life. The more time preacher and I spend together, the more this relationship grows. There's no substitute. There is no substitute. Relationships are built in the space of time. And there is no substitute. Fooey on all this. Well, we don't have a lot of time. We're so busy in God's work. Well, but we do sure have quality time. That's a bunch of hooey. You heard me right. And that's why we're failing. That's why there's so many discouraged wives. And ultimately, it will catch up to you. Young men, let me tell you, you might not get as far and as soon as you want to get, but it's better that when you get there right. I challenge you, in a moment of privacy sometime this week, get alone with your wife. Sit her down and say, sweetheart, I want to ask you a question, and please be completely honest and sincere with me. Now, I promise I'm not going to interrupt you, because sometimes I don't even let you speak. Look, all you pious guys that are looking at me like that, I'm seeing your wife, and this is what I see. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, couldn't he have said this in a men's session? They didn't give me a men's session. Sorry. It's about time we start taking accountability. But you know, sweetheart, answer me. With all honesty, I love you, sweetheart. Do you know? Do you believe that I love you? Not enough for her to know. She needs to believe it. Do you believe that I love you? And look, the answer might be something like, well, yeah, but have enough courage to hear what comes after that. Because that's where your love is failing. And no one will ever follow you, and you will not be a spiritual leader to your wife until you have her trust and confidence and she believes that you love her. And God forbid that if you don't have this right, God help the church if he gives you a position of leadership. We need spiritual leaders. Please pray for me. I want to be that for my sweetheart. And I believe that every man of God would say the same.